Sure, certainly. So please start the week, and I'll go ahead with your roll call. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to the Euralo board meeting held on Monday, from 6th of September 2016 at 1900 UTC. On the call today, we have Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Wolf Ludwig, Jordi Ipregue, Irier Lansepuro, Eric Schweighofer, Matthew Hamlin, and Sebastian Bachelet. We haven't received any apologies for today's call, and from staff we have Silvia Vivanco and myself, Yeshin Maltar. Finally, I would like to remind everyone to state their names before speaking for the transcript purposes. Over to you, Olivier. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Yeshin. I'm Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, and today's call is the first one in many, many months, so we have to catch up on things, and there are a number of things that we need to discuss today, primarily hot topics, Euralo task forces, a quick going through that. We have to discuss an at-large structure decertification, and we also have to discuss the plan of action, especially the outreach and engagement strategic plan, which is due at the end of this month, apparently, I've just been told. So we've got 4 days. It's not huge. We've already got last year's outreach and engagement, and we will have a link to that, and we can build from this. So is there any other topic that anybody would like to add to this, the current agenda that we have? I don't see anyone putting their hand up, so the first item on our agenda is a welcome to Eric Schweighofer, who has taken the seat that was left vacant by Mikhail Medrash, who stepped down earlier this year. So welcome, Eric. I don't know whether you wanted to say a few words, or I'll hand the floor over to you just to sort of welcome you.
No, it's just a welcome and honor to be on the board, and at the moment I have to learn what you all do, what you're doing in detail. So I hope I can be an engaged member. Mostly at the moment I'm doing a lot on the CCWG group, or mostly on this kind of accountability stuff. So I hope I can do a bit more, and also an outreach. I had also some discussions here at the Informatik 2016 in Klagenfurt about outreach to these informatics communities.
That's excellent. Okay, well, then I guess we got to get you to work. Get some things done. All right, well, let's get going then. First with the Euralo hot topics. That's agenda item number 3. There is a previous call of the Euralo monthly call. We had identified, we presented a paper which was key ICANN-related policy issues for Euralo and European end users. This was a document that had to be produced pretty quickly, so I worked with staff to put this together. We did get some feedback from the community at various levels of drafting this, although it was a very short amount of time. But something was suggested. Yeah, the suggestion was made that we put this document on a wiki page, which is what now has been done. We've got the document here, which is version 3. And we also have all the background on the document, which sends us over to the advice statements. We've had some responses already from from people in on the board. So we've had the response from Renalia that it's all been taken into account, and it was passed on I think it was one of the senior people at the commission. As the board had its meeting, its retreat in mid-September in Brussels, and so that already had some impact. But of course, this is a document which I think could be a living document, and we can certainly add more things to this. What I was going to ask you all is, what would be the best way to do this, because at the moment the document is in PDF form. We could do various things. We could cut and paste it and put it into the Uralo Hot Topics page just as a single, as normal text, and then ask for people to comment underneath, and regularly we could update this. Or we could have it on a Google Doc and get people to comment on the Google Doc and amend it accordingly as well. There are various different ways that we can do this, and I wondered if there were any suggestions here as to how we could deal with this. And the idea really is that perhaps every month the Uralo call could revisit this document and have a look at whether there was any, there were any additions, and call for people to add the topics or amend the topics that are listed there. So I open the floor here for some comments on this, process-wise primarily, as in how should we make use of this document and how should we collect more input for it. I know Mathieu writes in the chat that Google Docs sounds fine, but is there a privacy issue, if there is no privacy issue with this document? And the document is public, so it's nothing that's behind closed doors, and in fact, quite the contrary. It's really for everyone to be able to participate and contribute to. Any comments? Any thoughts and if any suggestions? Eric Schreikhofer mentions Google Doc is okay. So we've got two people who think it's a good idea to move forward with Google Doc. Yeah, the other as well. Okay, so let's then do that. We'll put it as a Google Doc, and we'll send a call on the Uralo mailing list for people to update it. I know that, Sebastian, you had a... Sebastian Bachelet, you had a few more that you wanted to list in there, so I gather you'll probably be the first person to add things to it. Whatever online works, says Jordi. Okay, cool. I see Sebastian's hand up. You have the floor, Sebastian.
Thank you, Olivier. Yeah, I have comments, but now it's the document went away, and it was not open for comments until 2 days before it was sent to the board. And I think it was a board of ICANN. I think it was a bad practice. I put my comments. They were not taken into account because it was too late. But then there is no need for this to discuss now. We need to revisit this in 6 months or 9 months. I don't think that it's something we need to care too much about right now, because it was used for what it was supposed to be used. If we want to keep a list of hot topics, and I don't think Google Doc is a the best place. We need to have something on our wiki or even on the website. We have a list of topics. We think that it's hot for European users. And if we need to discuss one single item, then yes, we need to do a Google Doc. But right now, if we have to do something, it's to list the hot topics we want to add to the current version, not too much enter to detail. But you know, that's just my point of view. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for this, Sebastian. I think at this stage, we really have to think that this is a living document. And I mean, you're saying revisit this in 6 months. I think we might actually be asked to share another version of this document or an updated version in less than 6 months' time. Seeing that we are getting increasingly involved with a number of things, and maybe one of the interesting things is that for any new members to say, well, what does Uralo do? What are you working on? This document would definitely be something that we can point new at-large structures to, or even existing ones that want to get active So that kind of points them in the right direction. All right, I see no other hands. Let's get moving then. And let's go to the next topic, and that's the Uralo task forces. This is just an update on the two task forces. The first one is the task force on the review and revision of the bylaws. As you know, the task force was primarily being driven forward by the work of Mikhail Medresh, who did a lot of work in analyzing what we had, etc. We then had a meeting in, it was a long time ago already, in Helsinki. And one of the problems that we were faced with was to actually have somebody who's well-versed in writing bylaws, a lawyer who knows how to write those things, and our work was a little slow without having such help. There was an action item for Michael Yakuchev from the global, vice president for Eastern Europe and CIS countries, to look into this and try and find out if we could have some form of help in the guise of someone from ICANN staff who could draft these things for us. So we would basically put the comments in, and then somebody would be holding the pen on that. The feedback, I've finally received an email back from Michael Yakuchev a few days ago saying that this was all fine. He had apparently had a debrief also from Mikhail Medresh on where we were. And what he suggests is that the moment things slow down a little bit when it comes down to INS stewardship transition, which really means another week or so, hopefully, then there could be some spare cycles from someone from legal to be able to help us out in that. So he will come back to me in due course. And hopefully then we can get that bylaws task force back on track again with the help of someone who can draft those things for us, which is really, I think, really good and really helpful. So that's the update on this. Until now, it's just been waiting. We haven't had any further call because it's useless to start on something if we're not going to have the help that we require on this. So this is where we are at the moment. Are there any questions or comments on that? I don't see anyone putting their hand up. Okay, so that's the first one. The second one, the second of our task forces is the one on at-large structure engagement, and Irio has drafted a letter that he proposes be sent out to the at-large structures. Perhaps I should let Irio speak about it. Irio Lanciporo. And at the moment, I see there is something coming out of your microphone, but we can't hear you, Irio. It's not working. Certainly cannot hear you. Yashim, can you check, please, what's going on there? Or?
Sure, certainly. I'll keep you posted.
I'm afraid we are not able to hear you. So in the meantime, I'll describe the letter myself. What it basically asks in a sort of a one-pager is to get an idea of the knowledge that is in each one of our at-large structures. So the letter would be sent using some kind of a mailman type system, and a system that basically personalizes each one of the emails, and it would basically say, well, thank you for being a member of Uralo, and providing a little bit of background of the pieces of advice that we do, but explaining that we do need to have a more efficient way to be able to write and to get the input. from everyone. If an at-large structure has a competency, a specific competency in a topic, then if they could please let us know about it. I had some concerns originally that this might be a little long letter, but Erio made it a lot more efficient and a lot shorter than it was before. So really, this is the last time we're looking at it before we can proceed forward with sending it out. I don't know whether, Yeshim, are you trying to get hold of Erio separately, or... Because it looks like his connection via Adobe Connect is not working. Huh? Erio? There's certainly some noise, but we can't hear you. When AC doesn't want to work, it doesn't work. Uh-huh.
Yes?
Heard a little bit from Erio. Yes, can we hear you?
Okay.
Now we can hear you, Erio. Good. Welcome.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so basically, I think that Olivia, you just explained this letter. It was the first version as was longer. This is a one-page format, and I got comments from Sebastian and Erich, and I tried to encode them so that, as far as I'm concerned, this is ready for sending.
Okay, Erio, thank you. So, Olivier speaking. Are there any comments, other comments from anyone else? Or I see a green tick from Sebastian. So it's good to go for Sebastian. How about everyone else? Jordi, fine with you as well. Good. And Wolf as well. And Eric. Right. Well, we then let's move forward with this. What I'll do then, I'll work with staff and probably we'll find some time tomorrow to send this this email out using the system that we have. And hopefully we'll start getting the answers as soon as possible. I just had one question, which was, where did you want that information to be sent, Erio? Do you think people should just reply to me and then I'll forward them over to the board, or how do you want this? Or I'll forward it to staff and then staff can compile a table?
Well, I think that to send it to the staff might be the best way, unless, I mean, the letter goes out over your name, so that the other, but I think that your inbox open by all these, dozens of answers, so that perhaps staff would be the return address. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for this. Erio, what I'll do is to copy staff in the email that I'm sending out, and I don't know, Wolf, shall I copy you as well, so then we've got more than we've got quite a few people looking at this. It might fill
yes,
your mailbox.
Please.
It is 37
yes.
Emails, but okay, no worries.
Okay, thanks.
All right, cool. That's fine then. So that's the first action item, I guess, is proceed forward with this, with sending out this letter. And as I said, I'll work on this tomorrow. Good. Well, thanks for this, Erio, and hopefully we should we can move things forward. Maybe I'll copy Erio as well, so then you'll also be tied into the replies, if people reply all. Excellent. And staff will then be able to put the responses on the table for us to look at, or rather for the working group on at-large structure engagement to look at. Erio, anything else on the task force of ALS engagement?
No, Olivia, this area. I think this is it for the time being. Let's see whether this replies, this letter gets any replies, and let's start working from there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Now, it's Olivia speaking. Let's move on to the next thing, and that's the ALS decertifications. The APLOT structure decertification process is a process that's already been used a number of times to decertify APLOT structures that have been dissolved, that have disappeared, or that are not responding to emails, and we have no idea on how to get hold of them. There is a link that is provided that is in your agenda that will take you and that shows you the process that is being used. Uralo has used it already on a number of occasions. I noticed here from the list of decertified ALSs that the CLOSIT, Italian Association for Computer Security, was decertified. KEPCA was decertified. Terre des Femmes was decertified. Yinternet.org was decertified. And if you have logged in into the wiki, you would be able to see further details when you click on each one of them. You can actually see further details of why they were decertified, etc. At the moment, we have one ALS that's been very difficult to reach, and that's ISOC Luxembourg. It's listed at the bottom of the page in May 2016. I have followed up with ISOC Luxembourg. Request for decertification, if you want, was initiated after we received an email from Patrick van der Valle, who was the previous chair of ISOC Luxembourg, telling us that effectively the ALS was defunct. But I did follow up with the Internet Society, and I was given the details of one person who was still active in that APLOC structure, a gentleman by the name of Brent Frère. We had an email exchange, and the situation is a little bit of a, as in any complex situation when you might have some people that created an APLOC structure and then moved on and then new people come in, etc. The situation is a little bit confusing and certainly confused. In that there appears to be still a bank account for the organization, and the organization still exists, but there are no members, there is no board, and this gentleman is trying to put back together a board, but it might take not even a few months. It might take up to 6 months, maybe a year. And so that person is basically saying, well, please don't decertify us as such. But at the same time, I can't get involved because I'm just by myself, and I need to rebuild this organization before we do things. So this is where I'm now asking you, as the board of Uralo, what should we do next? Should we proceed with decertifying ISOC Luxembourg, and then when they have their house in order, we could always recertify them. They can apply again, and they can be certified again. That's certainly a possibility. Or should we suspend ISOC Luxembourg? I don't know if there is anything in our bylaws that allow us to suspend the participation of an APLOC structure. Or should we just leave the situation as it is? The concern for us is that whenever there is a vote, there needs to be a quorum, and when you have one more APLOC structure on which the quorum is based, that certainly makes the figures a bit more, well, slightly more difficult to proceed with. So that's the situation we have at the moment. I'm opening the floor for your suggestions. And Wolf, by the way, since you have been operating the Uralo in the previous decertifications, of course you're extremely welcome to comment on this. In fact, perhaps even provide us with your thoughts on that.
Yes, if you allow me.
Yes, go ahead, Wolf.
Thanks for the floor, Olivier. It's Wolf Ludwig for the records. Yes, in fact, in the past, the whole decertification discussion was always a touchy subject. And we realized from the very beginning that we had a number of dead ducks among our members over years, but we hesitated for a long time until to take active steps, and it was on the secretariat level where all halos are together, and we discussed it repeatedly, and finally I think we were on the forefront to take the first steps by contacting the ALSs, which have never responded. Some of them have never attended over years face-to-face General Assembly, even when it was funded, etc. Special example was an ALS we had in Greece, a consumer org we had in Greece from the very beginning, but they never responded to any of my emails. And then we had a case in Germany, and we had a case in Switzerland, and finally I set up some criteria how the procedure should be conducted, sending them a final call and a reminder if they don't respond within 4 weeks. So we continue. We listed them for certification, and it's not Juralo who can certify. It's ELEC who has authority to do this, like the certification itself. And in one case we found out it was Terre des Femmes in Germany, an old ALS. And there we realized that the contact person, Heike, had passed away in the meantime, and when we contacted the organization, they told us, listen, it was Heike who was very interested in this issue. The organizational capacities of Terre des Femmes Germany are not like that we can follow up on ICANN-related issues, and then they asked themselves for decertification. And I think it was in spring 2014, it was just a couple of weeks before the Atlas II, when we suggested to ALEC and we decertified our first 4 ALSs. And now, meanwhile, we have a number of other candidates, Olivier and I, on our list. We are hesitant usually to talk around, to spread rumors, etc., or to talk in public about this, because this can be also touchy and confidential. But here on the board level, I think I can say that in the meantime we have Isaac Luxembourg on our list because our previous contact point, Patrick van der Walle, is unfortunately since many years not available anymore, not interested anymore. As far as we have understood, Olivier exchanged several emails with the new leadership. They are in a critical phase at the moment, how they can continue as an ISOC chapter, etc., and whether they may have any complementary possibilities. We are looking closely on our list, also discussing cases that should be discussed in Olivier's and in my opinion. And ALS's who have finally responded to invitations to face-to-face General Assembly, where funding is provided, anything is prepared for them, served for them, etc., but do not participate in any other activity of URALO, like a long-term case in Slovenia, again a consumer situation, consumer associations. This is somehow not really satisfactory. We know that the organization is active in Slovenia. Okay, we at least have knowledge about this, but they do not really follow and do not really show interest in regular URALO activities. And I think we should at URALO, and it would be my preference and wish to do this in collaboration, close collaboration with the board. What finally is now in existence for more than a year and has showed some working capacities and can provide feedback, I think it's a touchy issue that should not only be dealt with between the leadership, Olivier and me, but on the board level. And your advice in this respect, before we take any further steps, would be, in my opinion, very much appreciated. So we will keep you in the loop as far as the next week or potential candidates for this decertification are concerned. And I would very much appreciate if we could discuss this together and find solutions and approval together. That's all for the moment. Thanks for your patience.
Thanks very much, Wolf. It's Olivier Tapin-Blanc speaking. And whilst you were speaking, I put a link in the chat which links up to your June 2011 letter that explains the procedure that you were proposing to eventually end up with a decertification of those at-large structures back then. If one looks at the procedure, and there are seven steps here. The current one that we are discussing, the ISOC Luxembourg, so friendly reminder to the focal point of the ALS, if known, that's been done. A second less friendly reminder, well, I still remain friendly, so the second one was also done. We did get a response, so three doesn't stand in there. I did discuss decertification with the at-large structure, and they said, oh, please don't decertify. But at the same time, they were totally unable to give me a date at which they could actually operate again. Consideration and decertification decision by the ALAC, which is what we have not reached yet, because the way that it works is that URALO would then make a recommendation. If URALO was to decide on decertification, URALO would make a recommendation to the ALAC, and it's the ALAC that would decertify the at-large structure. So that's the current system. I saw earlier that Mathieu Camus had put his hand up, so I want to give him the floor, and then afterwards we'll have Elio Lentipolo. So let's go with Mathieu first. Mathieu Camus.
Good evening. I completely agree with Wolf, and I just read the procedure to deal with inactive LSEs. For the time interval, the first step, the step 1, 2, 3 may be done in a time interval between 6 months and a year, a full year, if you agree. And if I may suggest that if there is any response until the end of the step 4, the URALO could send an official letter to the ALAC to to send the message for the response of the LA. Thank you.
Thank you, Mathieu. It's Olivier speaking. So the Uralo should send the message to the ALAC to ask for the certification, or for the ALAC to contact at the LF?
Because if the steps one, two, and three stay without any answer, the ALS has to justify the silence.
Okay, thanks for this, Mathieu. It's Olivier speaking. I don't know if that's possible because I think that it's for the RALO to be in touch with the ALS. I've not heard of the ALAC being in touch with the ALS before that. But let's see. Maybe, Wolf, you'd know about this. Let's first have Erio Lenzipuro, and then we'll get back to Wolf.
Yeah, thank you, Olivier. This is Erio. Well, first of all, I mean, if we have text on the books about how to deal with the inactive ALSs, we should follow that. That is one, to just to keep our credibility. But on the other thing is that this ALS is also an ISOC chapter, and what I could do is that I could have a credential talk with Tommy Kartari, who is the manager of European chapters of ISOC. Of course, he's here in Helsinki, and we talk, you know, every week. So I think that it would be good to find out whether there is a sort of a problem with the ISOC chapter as such, and whether it's disintegrating or whatever, or if it's just a problem of their participation as ALS in the ICANN at large. I think that we also have to think of the possible outreach possibilities in Europe, and one of them is really to reach out to the existing ISOC chapters which are not ALSs, so that to start that with a decertification ISOC chapter would not be, in that sense, would be not good. So I propose that I talk to Tommy, and we try to find out what's the real problem in the work, and we proceed from that. Thank you.
Thank you for this, Sergio. It's Olivier speaking. So I might have not been clear with what I did. I got in touch with Tommy and with Joyce Donnier. Joyce Donnier is the manager for all chapters worldwide. And they are the ones who gave me the details of Brent Frère to say, well, that's the last person that exists that would respond to your emails. It's after a couple of emails that I then managed to get that person to respond, and we then had an exchange of emails, and it's that person who told me that the chapter itself has a bank account which no one can access, a non-existent board, and that Brent, is the only person that is still left to try, and he's trying to put together a new board and get a call for new members, etc. So the situation is pretty desperate in there. The chapter itself is not in rejuvenation because ISOC is giving it another few months before they launch a rejuvenation process. That's the rejuvenation process is one where a chapter is in bad shape and needs to have a new team come in or some help to relaunch itself. So that's where we are now. So thanks for suggesting, for offering to talk to Tommy about this. But I think we've gone further than, you know, it will take several months to reactivate the chapter if it ever does. So the question really now is, do we proceed with decertification
do we do nothing and wait? Or option three, do we suspend the chapter? In other words, we put it in a state where we do not count it within our quorum. And Wolf, if you can explain what that would entice, please, that would be helpful.
Well, thanks again, Olivier, for the floor, and it's Wolf Ludwig for the records. Well, desertification so far was, in my opinion, always a kind of a worst case. And please believe me, I never did it with any pleasure in the four cases we had so far. So I'm sorry about any member we lose. On the other hand, we discussed over years, and this wiki page which was given, I just realized I wrote this procedure how to deal with inactive ALSs. I wrote this back in June 2011 already, and this means it's a long-lasting pain. And we need to have some kind of a balance between those members who are active, who are participating regularly, some who are not really participating regularly, but who are responding whenever it was needed for votations, etc., and all this stuff, and those members who never ever cared since they became certified. So these are the worst cases. Another option besides the certification would be, like it is handled at NARALO, the North American Regional at Large Organization, where they have some sort of different criteria or handling in between. Member who has not participated in monthly calls of NARALO for a year. This member will be delisted from active voting. Such a member could be delisted from getting invited for attending the next General Assembly face-to-face and funded by ICANN. This would be an option in between. And I must admit, I have certain sympathies for such an in-between solution before really finally decertifying them, to have such an interim step, what was not mentioned in my proposed procedure from 2011. Because NARALO was still at the time on the way to develop their step in between, how to deal with such candidates. It could be an option for URALO as well to say, okay, if they need time, as in the case of ISOC Luxembourg, what Olivier explained in detail, they don't know how to solve the problem right now. They cannot give us an immediate answer, etc. So we could give them a grace period for another year by saying, okay, take your time. We don't ask for your decertification right now. We give you a grace period of another year where you, in case cannot participate in voting, where you won't be invited to come to the next face-to-face General Assembly, and if the situation where an ISOC chapter or any other member is not reactivated after 12 months, then we can easily, in my opinion, consider, tell them, listen, we do not see a solution and you cannot offer us a solution. Therefore, we think the best way would be to ask for your decertification. This would be an option in between, in my opinion, to be considered by the board. I do not have a final opinion on this issue because it's a touchy and a critical issue, etc. And I would be I would appreciate any further advice and opinion from the board. Thanks.
Thanks for this, Wolf. You've made very good points here, and I've noticed also Jordi, who has written in there, he would agree on suspending for X number of months, and then if there was no progress on the at-large structure side, we would proceed with decertification. So we could suspend, although this is not in the bylaws, this could be a board decision. And
yes,
if the board agrees to this, then we could proceed forward with therefore suspending it and informing them that they are suspended. But we would need to also let them know how many months. Wolf, you've mentioned 12 months. Is that too long? Is that, well, I can't imagine it's not long enough if you can't work yourself out in 12 months. The Naralo procedure, it actually goes as follows, and let me just try and see if I can copy this. Here we are. When an ALS does not contribute a comment on ICANN's policy through collaboration on the at-large discussion list in 12 consecutive months, it automatically loses its voting rights and active status within the Naralo. I think that that goes a little too far, maybe, and it's something to think of, but certainly it says here that it goes, it's 12 consecutive months, and then it's got another 12 months to participate. Otherwise, the chair will submit the ALAC with a request for decertification of that ALS. In the case of apparently dormant or non-existent ALS, the chair may also recommend that the ALS be decertified, providing evidence of such rationale. So that's what they're doing in Naralo, and the board here could unilaterally say, right, let's move forward. I see yes for suspending from Eric Schweighofer. And Jordi says, let's add this to our bylaws. Well, maybe we could think of this. And notice Irio saying, yes, let's suspend for 12 months. Okay. Everyone okay with 12 months?
May I come back, Olivier?
Yes, go ahead, Wolf.
Yes, thanks, Olivier, Wolf Ludwig again for the records. I would also say we offer 12 months. If they come back earlier, they are on the best way that the suspension will be lifted. But they have to prove, after they have not participated 12 consecutive months, they are suspended, and in during the next 12 months, they have any chance to step in again. And as soon as we realize that they have capacities and interest, etc., to come back again, they are highly appreciated. So then we could even discuss to say if they come back after 6 months and suddenly they contribute regularly, then we can say, okay, board can decide. We shorten this to 9 months or unleash the suspension immediately because now they have found the right person. So we can be flexible on the 12 months of suspension, but they must prove that they come back by themselves during the 12 months, and if nothing happens in the second 12 months while they are suspended, it, in my opinion, somehow proves that they haven't found a solution. This, in my opinion, is a fair offer how to handle it. I would not be in favor to write this into our bylaws. This can be in the rules of operation, etc. This can be, and I think it should be handled, because there are some confidential elements. It should not be discussed on the list, etc. It's a typical board issue, in my opinion, and whenever the board has looked into a particular case, the board will have the authority to decide, okay, after they have been suspended for not participating in 12 months, we say, okay, now you will be suspended, probably for the next 12, but in case you are coming back, we can shorten or limit this grace period. Thanks.
Thank you, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking. Whilst you were speaking, I noted a green tick from Irio Lentipuro, a green tick from Jordi Iparaguirre. Do we have a green also from Eric Schweighofer and Mathieu Camus? I see a green tick from Eric Schweighofer and Mathieu. If you can't use the green tick, yes, you can as well. Fine. So with four board members out of five agreeing to proceed forward with this, we will be suspending this ALS for 12 months. We'll be telling them accordingly, and if they, the moment they can, they tell us that they're back on track and back in action, they can be immediately reintegrated and be welcomed back. Excellent. Thank you, everyone, for this. We've made a good decision on that. I'm glad we have. This has been going around in circles for a while. Number six. The Crop Wiki page, and I note we have only a couple of minutes to, no, not a couple, of, you've got about 7 minutes to discuss this equally important thing. Now, the Community Regional Outreach Pilot Program is the system where we are able to send some people from our region to either large meeting, that we've done so far by sending them to Eurodig, or to send them to other meetings in Europe. But one of the things that needs to be, and as you know, we've had some discussions during our Eurado calls about this as to what strategy we were going to use this year. Last year's Eurado Outreach Strategic Plan was drafted by Wolf and put on the wiki page, which I've put a link to, and it's also on your Adobe Connect. And it basically lists the different, the concentration of Eurado in related activities. First, on the annual Eurodig events all over Europe, the annual ICANN Student Christ meetings in Europe, the European Summer School and Internet Governance, the National IGF initiatives, and also here talking about the crop for our five members or potential candidates to attend Eurodig meetings. The question is, we now have to do a strategic plan or an outreach plan for 2017, which actually is fiscal year 18, would you believe it? It's always 1 year ahead. So we effectively need to update this, and we have a few days to do so. What I was going to ask is, are there any big changes to last year? Do you have any suggestions of anything else that we could add to this? And Sébastien Bachelet, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. I have no really a proposal, but I think we need to come back to what we are saying since the first summit, how we can have at least one ILS in each and every country. And that might be our guidance to know how to do outreach, where to do outreach, and how to find those organizations in those countries. Because if we really want to have more diversity and to have a broader voice representing end user, it's really where we need to go. And I don't have an answer on how to do it. I think it will need more than 7 minutes to discuss that. But I think we need to keep that in mind and try to see how we can do this going in that direction to have one ILS at least in each and every country in our region. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. Next is Wolf Ludwig.
Thanks, Olivier. Wolf Ludwig for the records. I agree completely with Sebastian. It's our long-standing goal. It was reiterated in each of our annual reports over the last 8 years since Uralo's inauguration. It's nice to have such a goal and to reaffirm our goal year by year. The question is how it can be done. In the past, it didn't work, I must admit, because it was understood this is a leadership job. Nobody from the other members, according to my observations, felt concerned about it. So leadership has to do to provide this type of outreach, etc. We tried plenty of opportunities at Eurodix, previous Eurodix, at ICANN Studienkreis meetings. I used ISOC chapter meetings in Switzerland, in Germany, etc., and a lot of other opportunities, as long as outreach and identifying new ALSs is not considered as a broad-based cross-cutting obligation of existing members, I think we can never ever reach our ambitious goal having one ALS per all European countries. So it's taking time. It needs a lot of initiatives, talking repeatedly, and Olivier, I have seen over the last years, whenever he was in Meissen at the European Summer School on Internet Governance, he was handing over Uralo leaflets, he was always active, etc. So far, I think Olivier and I, in this respect, have been among the most active. We have, besides Eurodic, because Eurodic has now our own funding scheme, inviting people and organizations from South and Eastern European countries. So I think we should, next step for 2007, diversify our outreach options. I'm not so much convinced about national IGFs. National IGFs happened. We have more than 20 in Europe over the last years, and attending national IGFs, in my opinion, and I have seen some of them, is not or haven't proved so far being very effective. I think we have to look at events, big events like the Republika in Germany, which is year by year assembling 7,000 and more participants. Republika is not only conducted in German, it's also conducted in English. There are 40% or even more English-speaking participants by now. This, in my opinion, would be the right next options for being considered in our outreach strategy for 2017. Thanks.
Thanks for this, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking, and it is the top of the hour. If we could have just another 5 minutes on this, that would be helpful. Thanks for the points you have made here. You've touched on a number of things. I don't see anyone else putting their hand up at the moment. I was taking a few notes, and I thought a few things that we could do. The first thing is that I was going to suggest is that we take what you had written for last year as a basis for this year's plan, with just some amendments on this year's plan. I note that you mentioned the Eurodig, which now also has its own fellowship system. We had discussed this during the Uralo call with Sandra as well, Sandra Hofer-Richter, and the suggestion was made that perhaps we wouldn't use the five crop slots to send someone to Eurodig. We could use one or two, perhaps, and use the other three slots for to go to other send people to other meetings. So certainly, identification of big events attracting a large number of participants would be one step forward, and we can put in our strategy plan that we will be identifying such big events, and we can even quote Republica that you have quoted as being one of them. I was going to suggest perhaps that on the national IGFs, we could be asking our at-large structures to report, because often they do take part in their national IGF. So they could report to a Uralo monthly call, let's say, on a national IGF that has taken place whenever there was an actual a topic that dealt with domain names or with ICANN or with things. Just maybe a one-minute report of this. Next, I thought we would also mention certainly Sebastian mentioned one ALS in every country. That's definitely something we need to add back to this, to our strategic plan. Maybe just, in fact, as the title, the overarching title, one ALS in every country. And then one thing which we didn't really have last year and which we now have this year, and that's the individual members. Initially, it started a little bit slow, the ELS that was created for individual members. It's now gaining pace, and I have found through talking to people that it sometimes takes months, if not more than months, to either identify an at-large structure that already exists and then join the at-large structure, or create a new at-large structure, which takes even more time. And often the first step into being involved is to become an individual member, and I certainly have found quite a few people that have now taken that step. So our individual association is actually growing very fast, which is great news, and I thought we should perhaps mention this as well, as this is part of our outreach strategy, people starting as an individual member and perhaps then finding the time or the drive to build their own organization or even convince their own organization that it's important for them to be there. Certainly on one occasion at least, I have found that an organization has been reticent to joining at large for a very long time, and now they have one of their members that has one of their leadership team that has joined as an individual member that will therefore be able to report back. In addition to this, and Sebastian mentioned the contact with Center and Right. Now, we do have a discussion on this, and this is one of the things. The other railroads have done work to sign an MOU with local top-level domain a group of some sort. So Center, for example, I can't remember what it actually means there. But when it comes down to RIPE, I have had some discussions, informal discussions so far with some people from RIPE, because I think nearly all of the other, if not all of the other railroads now have an MOU with their local regional internet registry. And that's an important thing that we need to have, as in, we could provide our local regional internet registry with the end user input, which they often do not have in their ranks and which they often search in order to have. So that's one of the things. I don't know really why we haven't proceeded forward, but certainly the other all the other railroads have. I see Wolf has put his hand up. Wolf, you have the floor.
Yes, thanks, Olivier. Wolf Ludwig for the records. On your last question, you don't know why we haven't followed up. I think I've mentioned this in the past repeatedly. One point was why I, as a previous Juralo chair, who was always closely involved in Eurodic in the secretariat, we pushed 2 years ago an MOE with RIPE, what was successful and what was signed, I think, 18 months ago. And there was a sort of a conflict of interest. I, as a Eurodic Secretariat member, was, in my opinion, in a bad position as a Secretariat member, and then just taking another head, and then now I'm Juralo, and I want the same thing done with RIPE. This was a little bit complicated when I discussed and I agreed with Paul in the past that it was not one of their priority, but now since you, Olivier, are in charge of Juralo, you are the chair, etc., you are part of the Eurodic board, but it's a completely different issue now. And I think it would look completely different if we would push it from now on. Thanks.
Thanks very much for this, Wolf. I wasn't aware of the ins and outs of this and so on, and I appreciate that you mentioned this. I wasn't 100% sure on that. So, okay, any feedback on this by anyone? I don't see anyone putting their hand up at this stage. You probably all want to end the call very soon. This is all part of our strategy, and it's pretty important at this stage that we get your feedback, because you are the board at the end of the day, so you would be the ones that would be saying yay or nay. Sébastien Bachelet, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Just short, I think there were a document, I guess, with a list of who were, for the European country, member of the GAC, the one with the CCTLD, member of the CCNSO, and the ALSs. I guess it was done by Oksana, and maybe this document can be updated, but at least can be shared with the board member. I don't remember where it is, but and as I lost all my emails for the last 2 years, I will not be able to find it again. But I am sure that you have. If not, we can ask Oksana. Thank you.
Yes, thanks very much, Sébastien. It's Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. And it's actually linked to the homepage of the Juralo Task Force on ALS Engagement. It is indeed Oksana that put this document together. And we have it, I don't know if I have the time while talking to actually point you to it. But yes, that document will be a helpful document for us. Our focus here is just now the document we have in front of us. What I suggest then is that Wolf and I work on this document, or I might just work on this. I'll cut paste, put something new, share with the board, and I'll require your response pretty quickly since we need to file this by the 30th of September. You okay with that?
Okay.
Excellent. Okay, well, that's, we've got green ticks from Eric, Mathieu, and everyone. So that's all there is today. Any other business? Are there any other questions or points that you'd like to raise? Eric, and I'm putting you on the spot again, do you have any specific questions or things on procedures and whatever?
No, not yet, but I will study the documents more in detail, and then I may come back also bilaterally to you if necessary.
Okay, thanks very much, Eric. Right, well, everyone, thanks very much for joining on this call. I think it's been productive. We've managed to move forward on the ALS, and we've had some input, some good input on the outreach, the strategy that we've got here. Irio, I'll copy you on this also, since you are chairing our ALS engagement, and obviously CROP is all part of ALS engagement. So we have to work on this pretty quickly, but I will liaise in the next 24 hours. And with this, I'd like to thank you all. And without further ado, we're 11 minutes past the top of the hour. This call is adjourned. Thanks, and have a very good evening, everyone.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
The audio will now be disconnected. Have a lovely rest of the day. Bye-bye.